Access and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief at the Convention Center in Richmond, Virginia today.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
For the 19th year, volunteers served a Thanksgiving dinner with all the fixins to about 4,000 people, some of whom were homeless.
So today we have ham, turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy, cranberry sauce, green beans, and rolls.
They left with canned food and clothes. It was an unpleasant holiday for some elected Democrats, says CBS's Nicole Skanga.
At least five Connecticut lawmakers were swatted at their homes on Thanksgiving morning after hoax bomb threats were called in to police.
Australia today banned kids under 16 from accessing social media. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
Parents can have a different discussion with their young ones, a different discussion that will result in better outcomes and less harm for young Australians.
The first ban of its kind goes into effect in about a year. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. Travelers are expected to fill Wisconsin roads and airports in record numbers this Thanksgiving holiday, according to AAA Wisconsin officials. Nearly 1.6 million Wisconsinites will leave home this holiday week, an all-time high, as numbers continue to rebound after the COVID-19 pandemic. Nationally, AAA officials expect more than 8 million people to travel, the most since 2019. If turkey makes you tired, there's action on TV. Here's Civic Media's Terry Barr.
A tradition continues with an expanded football schedule this holiday weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years, the first featuring college teams, Yale and Princeton. The NFL took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became the regular host to these yearly games. This year, Green Bay hosts the Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving night. So far, the Packers' record during these holiday matchups, 15 wins, 20 losses, and 2 ties. I'm Terry Barr.
Millions of Americans will spend Thanksgiving with relatives for the first time since the election who may be on the other side of the political divide. Experts have some advice. Emma Nadler is a therapist, speaker, and author of the book, The Unlikely Village of Eden. She suggests that people consider what their overall goal is for the gathering and the relationships and respond accordingly.
When you feel yourself getting angry, frustrated, take a few seconds to consider, how do I honor my purpose here?
The group Braver Angels promotes civil political discussions. Find out where the other person is coming from. Try to not put them on the defensive and look for common ground. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
The Packers tonight in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Green Bay Packers and Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field. The Dolphins are tough against the run, led by linebackers coach Joe Barry, the former defensive coordinator for the Packers, and Anthony Weaver, who played for the Ravens and now runs Miami's defense, Matt LaFleur.
Their defense is outstanding. I think they do a great job in multiple areas, whether it's defending the pass. It's really tough to get explosive plays on them. So I think Anthony Weaver and his staff, Joe B, obviously has been a big help, I'm sure, to him, and good scheme, so it's going to be quite the challenge.
NBA, the Bucks are back home Saturday night against the Wizards. Milwaukee now 9-9 after that horrible 1-6 start.
We all know that collectively we have to step up as a unit, individually you got to step up, and it's just time to be ready. So we know what the job is. It's still the same assignment. We're all pros here. We know what to do.
That's Bucks center Brook Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, scattered flurries, and a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, a gradual clearing but a brisk breeze, staying cold and highs in the low 20s. Mid-20s for highs for the rest of the holiday weekend. Temps nudge closer to 30 to start early next week. It's 24 right now.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brunson!
Gostisinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition of the show. We'll look at Black Friday deals and look back at a couple of great interviews of the year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. And happy, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you for being here this evening. If you are here, it means you're either tired of family, sick of football, it's too cold out, or you just love Nightlight. We'll accept any and all reasons to be here. It is great to have you. This is a fun show we put together for you specifically on Thanksgiving Day. And Conrad is riding shotgun, even though he's not really here today. Wrap your head around that one.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Conrad. We have a fun show tonight. We put together a little show, kind of a best of here, so we could be with our families on Thanksgiving. And our guests, this is exciting, Andrea Belke.
Yep.
She's joining us again. I just reached out to Andrea last week and I said, hey, we would love to get you back on the show and have you juggle inanimate objects again like she did last time she was here and showed us one of her many talents. And she's busy till the end of the year, but we're going to book her back shortly after the holidays. And then Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler will be here. They both work for National Lampoon. Jamie is the voice of the network and Jeff is one of the writers. So they'll be here. That was a fun interview we did a few weeks ago. Great to have those guys on the show. So we thought that was a good one to replay, break it out for the holidays. And then Conrad, what else do we have that's very special and exciting?
Well, you know, it sucks that it never aired because, you know, I don't think it got picked up by any networks.
Well, we're still working. Yeah, we'll get it out there.
But it's the Huck Tua reality show.
It was bound to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. She's got a very popular podcast, although I wonder if it's as popular now as it was a few weeks ago and it like shot up to number 3 on Spotify.
Yeah.
She was like giving Joe Rogan a run for his money.
I think it was just there for the jokes.
What do you mean?
Everyone's just joined it because it's funny, I feel
Huck
like.
Tua, right.
But
then it wears off.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's any real content in there. So
right.
You're not going to learn anything from it.
And it's probably people going on her podcast while she's popular to get more listeners to their podcast.
Yeah.
It's like a podcast thing. She's not getting Tom Hanks on there, you know.
That would be interesting.
Well, yeah. And I mean, eventually, it's all like sort of this give and take for podcast listeners. Having said that, I would kill to have her on this show. I am not beyond some groveling to get the Huck Tua girl on this show. We did try to join the fan club, but it was very pricey. What was it? 200?
250 for the regular and then 500 for the VIP.
And if I remember correctly, the VIP gets you pretty much just what the regular gets you, but they put like an extra adjective in front of the...
Extra special instead of special.
You're an extra special member. What does that mean? Well, we're not saying. It just means you spend an extra $200. So that's a fun show. We put that together. We hope you guys enjoy it. We hope you're having a great Thanksgiving. And you know, this is something interesting. A few days ago, we did a question of the night was favorite Thanksgiving sides. You know what my least favorite Thanksgiving side is, or a side I never have at Thanksgiving, which is a very popular American staple? Any guesses?
Well, I think I know.
I'll tell you, because I don't know if you do know, but salad.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and there have been salad offerings at Thanksgiving, but I never indulge. I'm too focused on the starch and the carbs and everything else that the last thing I want to do is eat salad. And I'm, you know, pretty regular vegetable and salad eater. I don't know. Do you eat salad on Thanksgiving?
You know, there's those other types of salad, like, what are they called?
Green
like
bean.
Why can't I think of it? Like the salads you'd pick up at like the deli.
The bag salads?
I can't remember what they're called.
Oh, what is that?
German potato salad, like that type of stuff.
Oh, wow. German potato salad.
There's like broccoli salad, you know. That kind of stuff is in there sometimes.
Okay.
But no, like a regular salad, I don't think I'd... That is very heavily carbs and starch, like you said, I don't think I'd look at it and be like, you know, this could use some greens.
I can't wait to polish those three leaves off. I need every single calorie available to the rest of the meal. But it is Thanksgiving Day. We hope you're having a great day. And we started talking before the show and we decided it was, you know, we always talk about movies around the holidays, but, you know, Conrad and I are both sitcom watchers.
Yeah.
Watchers of television sitcoms. And it got us thinking, like, what are the best TV show sitcoms? And I would say, you know, Friends is up there as one of the all-time favorites, or at least it constantly gets mentioned, and it's good. Love the old Bob Newhart one from the 70s, the first Bob Newhart show. That was a funny Thanksgiving one. Obviously, WKRP. You have a favorite too, though.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving episodes, like you said, I would go with Friends probably as my number one because I just love how they fight over that stupid doll.
Oh, yeah.
When they go and play football.
They did more than one, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They did that one. And then the other one was when, what was it? The Rachel Green hate fan club where I forget who, was it Brad Pitt?
No. You know, the later ones I'm not as familiar with, I have to be honest.
I can't remember who guest stars in that one. Yeah, I think it's Brad Pitt.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, those two are pretty good. And then I'd say How I Met Your Mother. And if I recall, that's the only Thanksgiving one they did. They did a bunch of Christmas ones. But Thanksgiving one was funny because Ted and Robin want to do something nice for Thanksgiving. So they go to the soup kitchen. And then Barney's in there working his tail off, being one of the best members they have. And he lies and says, no, I just do this because I want to. And at the end, they find out that it's court mandated because he had a public urination thing at a building.
There is nothing funnier than someone doing something because the court is making them. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was because they got kicked out of it. I forget what they did, but they got kicked out of the soup kitchen. And Barney did too.
That's funny.
So he was mad at them.
That's great. I like that. I'm going to have to check that. That show is on my shows to watch. And purely because you're such a fan. And over the course of doing this show, other people have called in and love it too. So it's definitely, it never gets mentioned. And maybe it's not that elite, like Seinfeld, Friends, whatever, but it's in the conversation. Like I would say next tier, right?
I just think it could have been on that level if the ending didn't suck.
Really?
The ending's terrible.
But the ending is Seinfeld. I didn't like that either.
Oh, really?
Not middle finger to viewers, but sort of like we just want to be jerks. And I just thought it could have been, the show was so clever. I thought it could have been a little more clever. It was a little contrived.
Well, let's just say it ends really sad and really dark. And then there's just no closure.
Oh, really? Whoa, really?
Yeah. And it's so weird because it's such a funny show. There's some, you know, there's some episodes where it's kind of dark. Like if you're feeling sad, you go to those episodes, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just like, incomplete, it feels like. I feel like they could have one more season to it.
Maybe they thought they were.
Yeah, I don't. They did.
What was the...
9 seasons of it.
Yeah, that's a good run. What was the thing with Monica on Friends where she had the turkey on her head? Was that the same one where Chandler lost his toe in the flashback?
Yes.
And she was trying to cheer him up, or were those two separate? That's the same one?
Yeah. Okay. That's a different episode. That's actually, so there's three that we can think of.
Yeah, when they flash back and Ross and Chandler are dressed like 80s guys or like Miami Vice and he gets his toe. It's when Monica's still heavy.
Yeah.
And a knife goes up in the air or something and comes down and cuts Chandler's toe off. And then didn't they show up at the hospital and they had like a
carrot
piece of corn? It was a carrot. That's right.
But the reason that Monica put her head in it is because Joey at the start of the episode got his head stuck in it.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah. So that was a different episode. I thought Chandler was like sulking because he hates Thanksgiving and she tried to cheer him up because of that memory.
And then he has his grilled cheese at the end of it.
And it's funny because, I mean, movies, it's easy. To me, it's like not the only, because I think I've said previously on the show, I consider It's a Wonderful Life to be a little more of a Thanksgiving movie, even though it's set in Christmas. And I don't know why. I don't know why, because maybe that's the weekend people choose to watch it, because that's a big, like, what movie are you going to watch this weekend? You got three more days, you know.
Definitely Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right.
I don't know. Besides that, I don't really get into the Christmas spirit with that. You know, I watch a lot of football, so that's basically what I'm going to watch.
That's your Christmas. That's your Thanksgiving
movies. That's my Thanksgiving. I don't watch any movies on Thanksgiving. It's just all until the end of the day where there's no football anymore.
I'll say that I could put Die Hard in a Thanksgiving weekend repertoire, because I know a lot of people insist it's a Christmas movie. To some degree, it is. But I feel like it is and it isn't. So I could easily go with that one on Thanksgiving. I would do Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, maybe Die Hard, and maybe It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I really do like It's a Wonderful Life. I think that's a great movie.
One of the best ever.
Yeah.
All right. So we've established that I am not eating salad today. And gravy. Where are we at with gravy? You're a gravy guy?
No. I never really liked gravy. And isn't it, it's just simple ingredients. But to me, it looks gross.
It's fat. It's like butter and lard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, look, there are many different kinds of gravies, but to me, it just really grosses me out.
Yeah.
I like, on my potatoes, I like butter and salt and pepper.
Yep.
And I like the taste of potato.
Yeah.
Same thing with stuffing. I see people loading up and I just, it doesn't gross me out, but I really have no desire ever to have gravy again.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried it once.
You've only tried gravy once?
No, maybe more, but it's just never
enough to know. Yeah.
I like you, I just like it with butter and some salt and pepper, and I think that tastes pretty good.
Same. And I see people load up. I've done it. When I was a kid, I had gravy just because I thought I was supposed to. And then it's like maybe 19 or 20, I just kind of realized, wow, this really sucks. I don't like this at all on any of my food. It's ruining the food. Now, there are people listening that are probably going to text, even though we're not here, and say, you're crazy. We love gravy. And that's fine, too. My folks love gravy. I don't know, man. I just can't do it.
So you like cranberry, though?
Yeah, I do.
I don't like cranberry. But last week when I was at my sister-in-law and my brothers, they hosted Thanksgiving at their house, and she made a cranberry jalapeno salsa.
Oh, wow.
It was so good.
That does sound good.
I had like a whole plate of it.
Let's get a little gravy on there. It'll be...
No, I don't need gravy on this.
All right. We got a fun show here. Coming up next, the Hawk Tua girl, a sneak peek at an episode. It's never going to happen, probably. And then Andrea Belke from Discover Wisconsin joins us. And Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler from National Lampoon. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're coming right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Max Inc. Radio.
We're replaying the amazing live performance from an 11-year-old, plus new music from around the state. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I'm going to share a story about me and my money. This starts in my 20s when I was what I will call an avoider. I was an avoider because I just felt like I was bad at money. You know, I didn't want to think about money. I didn't want to do anything with money except make it and spend it and close my eyes and pray that the rent check would cash. I spent a few years beating myself up about not paying attention to my money until I started having a very short money meeting with myself every month. And those meetings taught me that with a little bit of effort, I could be on top of my money. I could know when it was coming and I could know where it was going. And eventually, I was able to make plans for it. So if you're stuck in the avoider trap, hey, I know what it's like. Invite yourself to a money meeting. I promise you it'll pay off. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I found my thrill.
Hey, this is Pete. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoying your families. We have a few days off doing the same, and we'll be back on December 2nd. In the meantime, we put together some fun segments from previous shows. Hope you enjoy, and happy Thanksgiving. Tom from New Berlin says, was watching it yesterday, thought the same thing. It was creepy. Tom, you were watching Family Feud yesterday, like the old reruns? What are the odds of that? And yeah, it is creepy. And apparently towards the end of Richard Dawson's tenure as the host of Family Feud, he would throw a few back before the show. So we should all feel grateful, as should the women, that he stopped kissing. Because I think he was starting to slur his words and get a little carried away as the show went on. He would like mumble. I think it was my buddy Mike Toomey did a great joke. It was, survey says, like he got survey says, but you couldn't hear anything else. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I would like to see Mr. Magoo as president. Well, who wouldn't, Anna? He looks distinguished anyway. That's a good one. Mr. Magoo. I could roll with Mr. Magoo as the commander in chief. And then Tom from New Berlin says, oh, clarifying. And I was in my teenage years and remember watching the show. I love the show. Because the questions aren't crazy like Jeopardy. Like sometimes I can watch Jeopardy and go, I'm pretty smart. Otherwise, other times I watch Jeopardy, I'm like, I'm a complete idiot. But Family Feud was not like that. It was sort of the everyman's game show. 100 people surveyed, top answers on the board. That simple. Great concept. Wish I would have thought of it. But I was like two. So keep those texts coming, folks. You're welcome to comment, as you know, on anything we're talking about. I love the Family Feud comments. Also, who do you think, what cartoon do you think would make, cartoon character do you think would make a great president? Okay, so as promised, this is crazy, but every once in a while on Nightlight, I get access to something just because of all my connections in the entertainment industry. And I don't have a ton, but I have a few and they're solid. We had my interview with Taylor Swift a couple months ago. Remember that one, Conrad?
Of course.
Yeah. What do you remember about that?
I remember that she was young.
Yeah, correct. And then we had the Travis Kelce sideline talk with Andy Reid. We obtained that. That was great. And tonight, this is very exciting. We have a sneak preview. As everyone has probably heard now, the Huck Tua girl is very popular. She made one gesture and said, Huck Tua on that thing, relating to how she takes care of her boyfriend. Yeah, it was a little risque, but it was barely English, so it feels okay to say on the radio. But now the world has gone bananas because a cute girl said something and everybody wants to watch it. And now the representatives and the influencers are getting a hold of her to make a reality show out of one thing she said at a rodeo or tractor pull or whatever it was. And she's going to do stand-up comedy. She's got merch coming out, apparently. But the reality show is the big thing because TMZ promoted this recently. They said there are rumors. Well, here at Nightlight tonight, folks, it's a good thing you're here because we can confirm these are more than just rumors. They've already shot some episodes, and we've obtained an audio clip of a sneak preview of what this season, just to give you a taste of what the Hawk Tua Girls reality show will look like. Conrad, let's roll it.
This week on Hawk Tua the Top.
What's the matter, bro? Everything okay with Haley?
I'm wondering if there's someone else. I mean, she told me she'd never Hawk Tua on another thing, and that mine was the best.
Bruh, they always say that. But now she's famous, I might want to date famous guys. With famous things.
Chad wants to put a ring on it, but Haley reminds him who calls the shots.
Where have you been?
I was hanging with the Kardashians. What's your problem?
You know I don't like them skanks.
Will you chill? We were just making a sex tape. God.
You've changed. I mean, you never Hawk Tua on my thing anymore. Then you want me to sign a prenup after I made all that Hawk Tua merch.
You think screen printing merch makes you special? I'm the brains behind Hawk Tua. Can you even begin to comprehend how much pressure is on me? How hard it is to get an entire season of television out of a foreplay technique?
Whatever. You ain't Hawk Tua on my thing in weeks. And last time you did it, you barely even Tua it.
And things get complicated when Haley meets a new love.
You're dating Tua Tagalovian? You're giving the Hawk Tua to Tua?
Oh my God, grow up.
Don't miss the next episode of Hawk Tua the Top, when the Hawk Tua girl and Tua get Tugavalovian.
Hawk Tua.
That's one to see.
It's on my list.
I'm not a reality show guy. And great that Todd Michaels got another gig.
Right.
But that sounds like a good show. I don't know. It sounds insightful. There's some drama. She just seems like a girl trying to make it in this world. And poor Chad, you know, what's he supposed to do? He's dating this girl. She becomes famous. Now she's hanging with the Kardashians and dating NFL quarterbacks like Tua. How do you say his last name?
Tagovailoa.
I don't think Chad said it right on the
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. So, you know, that's how fame does change people, folks. And Haley Welch is her real name, but that just, she's no different. So God bless her. I hope things go well for her. It sounds like a good show. Maybe we'll play it again in the second hour just to see what people think. I don't know, but you're welcome to weigh in on the Hawk Tua Girls reality show. I think it's, what was it called? Hawk Tua the Top?
Hawk Tua the Top.
She's going to Hawk Tua her way to the top. So good stuff. And a tip of my hat to the Nightlight journalist that got their hands on that that piece of tape, because that's invaluable. People won't see that until it comes out on, but we gave them a sneak peek here on Nightlight tonight. Tom says, I'm sorry, that's not Tom. That's an old text I was about to read. Tom says, what does the term mean? And then he quickly says, sorry, got it. He figured out. Tom says, what's wrong with lotions? Well, Tom, listen, I'm no expert, but I think that would indicate, you know, you don't have a girlfriend or you're a stag, you know, you're going solo. This guy's dating Haley. She's got to, he's bringing other stuff to the party.
It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in. Phoning her at least 10 times a day. You know, it's so unusual for me to carry on this way. I tell ya, I can't sleep at night.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. All over the country, there will inevitably be political conversation over the Thanksgiving dinner table. And for lots of families, there are people on both sides of the aisle, making it a tense situation. Therapist Emma Nadler said if the conversation takes a turn, take a long pause, maybe pitch in with the dishes, or take a walk, rather than let things get too contentious.
Anyone can say and do things they regret, and it takes at least 20 minutes of non-activating conversation to get back to your baseline regulation.
Some families may choose to discuss the tone of the holiday ahead of time, trying to set some ground rules. If you enjoy mashed potatoes and green bean casserole this holiday, you're not alone, but a new survey includes some other food surprises. Here's Civic Media's Terry Barr.
A new survey is revealing some interesting things about the food you may be sharing this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. It includes the calories you'll consume. The Harris poll shows most of you say there's almost always turkey, cranberries, and pumpkin pie. But the survey indicates 65% don't even like some of these holiday dishes, yet you'll eat it because it's tradition. One result which may not be surprising: the average number of calories consumed during your holiday dinner. It's around 4,500. That's about twice the daily calories suggested by any health expert. I'm Terry Barr.
The holiday travel season begins this week, and you can expect roads and airports to be crowded for Thanksgiving. In Wisconsin, a record number of people are expected to fly or drive for Thanksgiving. Good news, though, for areas with road construction. Wisconsin DOT said road work will stop at noon on Wednesday and resume on December 2nd. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glicked Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, everyone. James J. Maloff here, host and program director with WFHR, wishing you all a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, scattered flurries, and a low in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, a gradual clearing but a brisk breeze, staying cold and highs in the low 20s. Mid-20s for highs for the rest of the holiday weekend. Temps nudge closer to 30 to start early next week. It's 24 right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll revisit some of our favorite recent interviews, including children's author Laura Bird and meeting new state legislator Christian Phelps.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Pete. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoying your families. We have a few days off doing the same, and we'll be back on December 2nd. In the meantime, we put together some fun segments from previous shows. Hope you enjoy, and happy Thanksgiving.
There's this thing called love, and it's everywhere. She told me it can break your heart out.
All right, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and is also a survivor, like a three-timer on the show Survivor, which I find fascinating. She joins us now on Nightlight via the stream. Andrea Belke. Hey, Andrea.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I just got back from Utah. I was there yesterday visiting my sister. So now I'm back in Milwaukee because you're in Green Bay, right?
We are. We're in, downtown nice. Green Bay. Yeah, it's a beautiful night here. And are you from, where are you based right now?
Milwaukee.
Nice.
I grew up in Random Lake, Wisconsin. Have you heard of Random Lake?
I have. I had an uncle that lived there for a while. I don't know the circumstances. Might have been witness protection. I'm not sure, but he lived in Random Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up on a farm a little bit outside of Random Lake with my parents and then moved to New York after college for 10 years. And then now I've been in Milwaukee about 3 years.
Wow. So is that nice for you? Like being centrally? I mean, I was looking at your resume. You are all over the place. You travel, you're hosting red carpets and being correspondents and you do stuff in Milwaukee. Now you're doing Discover Wisconsin. Is Milwaukee a good base for you? Given all that?
Right now it is. I mean, I was in New York for a while. And then honestly, I was just kind of homesick. I was really missing my family. I have two younger sisters. So growing up and then, you know, missing the key parts of their life, like graduations and basketball tournaments and everything. So I finally moved back and I've just been a lot happier being back. And Milwaukee's a great city. I mean, there's so much to do. It's not as big as New York City, obviously, but I find enough local TV and opportunities. So I'm loving it.
Wow. Good for you. I know what you mean too. I lived in Los Angeles for years and years and, you know, like the big stuff you come back for, but like a second cousin wedding, stuff like that is the stuff you miss. And that's when you see your whole family. It's hard to miss that stuff. So good for you.
Yeah, you're right. It's always kind of hard to decide, oh, is this worth buying a trip home?
Right.
And then you feel like such a jerk. How long were you in Los Angeles?
Almost 15 years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So. What was the reason for finally coming back?
Witness protection. We were at a point where my kids were, we didn't leave for the reasons everybody says, oh, you wanted to raise your kids in a small town. It's like, that's not it. It's family. It's all about family. And there's times I really miss LA and I was kind of commuting for a while, but you know, that gets expensive too. And you know, if there's like some project where I have to go out there, I'll go. But right now I have to say, and maybe you'd agree with this, it's so easy to live in Wisconsin.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Obviously winters can be tough. That
Brutal.
Is, but I think it makes summers, like as soon as spring rolls around, I am so happy. I am happier, I think, than, you know, the average person in LA that has sun all year round. I think it's because it's this buildup, but the winters are pretty, they're
brutal.
Terrible.
I will not lie about that. I hate the winters and, you know, but whatever. You don't pick where you live based on weather. Well, some people do, but anyway. Let's talk about Discover Wisconsin. For people who have not seen it yet, tell us what you do on the show and tell us about the show.
Yeah, so I host a show called Discover Wisconsin. We basically go all around the state exploring different counties, different cities, different events. I'll be going to Cranberry Fest coming up.
Nice.
We'll do different county fairs. Sometimes an episode will have a theme, like I in this next season that airs in at the end of August. I did an episode all about forest management and timber and all the things that you can do with timber. Did you know that wood is in your face products and your toothpaste? I mean, I learn a lot about different things that are going on in the state. And I mean, it's a lot of the typical Wisconsin things too, like kayaking, canoeing, hiking, mountain biking.
Cheese curds.
But it's, lots of cheese curds. I'm actually lactose intolerant too. So that, I learned, for some reason, I didn't know Lactaid was a thing. So now on my shoes, I just make sure I bring a bunch of Lactaid and I can eat whatever I want.
Oh, there you go.
But there's a lot of checking out different breweries, distilleries, lots of food, cheese is a big one. We did an episode on Lake Geneva, which I've always heard about Lake Geneva. I didn't realize how cool that city is. All the speakeasies and all the lore around Lake Geneva. So it's been a really cool way to come back, still do what I love, which is TV hosting, and get to discover Wisconsin. But in a way that I really didn't growing up. Like, I don't know, my family and I, we didn't do a ton of traveling. We were all just really busy with 4-H and going to the, getting our animals ready for the county fair. Yeah, that was a big part of my life. So we didn't really go around the state that much. And there's just so much to do just here in Wisconsin.
So, all right, now I'm going to give you a little quick quiz. I wrote a script a few years ago, it was a half hour, and I put 4-H in it. And the other writer and me were trying to figure out what 4-H stood for, and we couldn't think of it. And I was never in 4-H. I'm the epitome of an inside guy. But you, as a farm girl and a 4-H'er, do you know what the 4-H's are?
Oh, my 4-H family is going to disown me. Okay, I haven't had to say this in so long, but it's my head for greater thinking, my heart for greater something.
Compassion, maybe?
My hands for greater service, head, heart, hand, health.
That's it. I think you're right. Wow. That's impressive.
My country, my community, my world.
That is impressive. Yeah. I thought I was going for a gotcha moment there and you turned it around and you slam dunked right in my face. How does that feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think those have to be the 4-H's. I can't think of any other H words at this point.
Where it fits, yeah. Hectic. Yeah, that's not it.
Yeah.
So how did you get the Discover Wisconsin gig?
So when I moved back from New York, I actually had a producer reach out to me. I went to school with him at Stevens Point for college. We did student television together, and he saw I was back in town, and then was saying, hey, we have openings for hosts. And at the time I was working for People Magazine, which was a great gig, interviewing tons of celebrities, doing red carpets. But at that point it was all virtual. And once you interview celebrities, I mean, you do all the time. They're just people, I think. And after doing it for 8 years, I was ready for something different. I was ready for also a little bit more of a freelance lifestyle where I could travel and kind of have a variety. So it was kind of perfect. I feel like after being in the business for, 15 years at this point, now opportunities just kind of present themselves from like past connections.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can relate to that. It takes a long time, but finally, just so many years later, it starts to kind of pay off of, oh, I'm so glad I did that project, because then now it opened up for 7 years later for this gig. Like, it kind of like pays to put in on the time.
Yeah, totally. So what have you learned about, like, and it's so funny what you say, there's more people, like we had Thomas Lennon on the show last night, and I just found out, I've known Tom for years, he just moved to Lake Geneva. Like, and that goes to what we were saying before about how Wisconsin is such an easy place to live. What area have you discovered that you didn't know about besides like Lake Geneva?
Well, I would say, I growing up never went to Door County.
Oh, wow. And, really?
Which is, yeah. And so I feel like I was just, I'm sure a lot of people listening, it was like, yeah, it's a no brainer. You go to Door County with your family. I never did until Discover Wisconsin. And we just went to Carlsville, which is pretty much an intersection, but there's about like 4 or 5 businesses right there. And it was just cool. And then after that, like going up and seeing more of it. But I mean, Door County, if you haven't been, it's the coolest area.
Beautiful.
And then even going I go all the way up to Lake Superior all the time, up to Superior, and then, go across to Duluth.
Wow.
So a lot of my treks. Oh, and then Magdalen Island. Have you ever been there?
No, I've heard it's so beautiful. There's a lot of places. I've heard the Apostle Islands are great, and Cornucopia, and all these great places up by Lake Superior, but it's cold. I live in the Marinette area, so it's cold enough there. I don't need to go farther north, but I would. I've heard it's gorgeous.
It's cool. You take a ferry there. There's no cars on the island.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, there are cars on the island. I was getting that confused with Mackinac, but there's no gas stations on the island. So you have to go back over to get gas. I don't think I'd want to live there, but pretty cool to visit.
Where is the Cranberry Fest that you're going to?
Well, I haven't been sent the production book yet, so I'm actually not sure. I'm sure I could do a quick Google search.
Oh, that's okay. We toured an actual cranberry farm in the Three Lakes area several years ago when we first got back here, and that was really fascinating. Like, and they told us that they supply Ocean Spray with most of their cranberries come from Wisconsin, and I didn't know that. And it's just a little fun thing to geek out on, you know.
Oh yeah, cranberries are huge in Wisconsin, which is something I never knew.
Yeah.
And I haven't done anything with cranberries yet, so that's coming up
very cool.
Next month.
All right. Andrea Belke is my guest. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and a new transplant to her home state. She recently moved back here and makes Milwaukee her home now. She's got some really cool stuff. Your resume is just like, I was exhausted reading it. You've done so much stuff. And I got to ask you about Survivor. You've done three tours of Survivor. You're obviously very good at it. That seems awful to me. How was it?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm not that good because I'm a three-time Survivor loser, but
well,
I always do go very far.
Yeah.
And then people will target me because I'm always good at the challenges, which I actually credit to growing up in Wisconsin because you play so many yard games.
Right.
And that's pretty much what the Survivor challenges are. And then I think growing up on a farm too, just kind of having the overall athleticism and just like random things, having a good aim. Right. So it actually is really tough. I kind of went into it thinking like, how hard can this be? I've been camping. I grew up on a farm. I've worked really hard growing up. But I understand why I would never quit, but there are times where you actually kind of feel like you're dying and you understand why people do quit. Cause sometimes people quit the show and it's this huge disgrace and the fans are so upset, and I would never do it. But I remember thinking, having that moment going, oh, I understand, because you are starving. They give you like a tiny rice ration where it's probably about the size of your hand.
Wow.
And that's all you're eating. Like, that's the amount of rice you have all day. And there were some days we'd go like a couple of days without food. And then, so whenever people are just like, how hard is it? I'm like, okay, I dare you. Just go 2 or 3 days without eating at all. And then be in like a hot, you know, well, or on an island, but like surround yourself by like these really crazy personalities and then throw $1 million in there. I mean, that's why like the producers don't have to make you say anything. It just all comes out because there's so much trauma because everyone's starving. You haven't slept. You're sleeping on bamboo. You're sleeping on whatever shelter you put together. And then in my first season in Nicaragua, it would rain every night and you'd be laying on the wet bamboo and just feeling drips, dripping all night. And then you hear people just like start like
bugs.
Slapping their, yes, the bugs. On my second season, I came home and I had all these bug bites on my knees, which I still have scars from. And it wasn't this, but this is what it looks like. When I went to the doctor, he said, okay, that looks like you have larvae in your knees.
Oh,
okay,
no.
It wasn't that, but that's how infected they were. Like, they were so bubbly and infected. Sorry, this is so gross. but you asked how hard it was.
No, I love this.
You would be sleeping and then rats would run across you during the night. So people would wake up from rats. And then just mentally, it wears you down. You can't trust anybody. People are just lying to your face. You're trying to also lie and you feel bad about yourself morally. You're like, I know this is a game, but I'm just telling this person I'm with them and I'm not. Now I feel terrible. But it was overall, it was a pretty brutal experience, but also super rewarding. So fun. It's one of those things. You love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah. But you did it. You went back twice. Let's pick up there. Cause I do have more questions. I've done like a 36-hour fast a few times and I wouldn't have anybody within a 10-mile radius want to talk to me. Like, it can make you really crabby. And if there's $1 million on the line, I'd probably just, I don't know what I'd do. So let's go. Yeah. All right. I have more Survivor questions. Andrea Belke is here. She's the host of Discover Wisconsin and has been on Survivor 3, count them, 3 times. And she's got larvae in her knees and all kinds of other things going on. We'll talk more about that coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results, Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Andrea Belke is here. She is the host of Discover Wisconsin and is a 3-time Survivor. In the research I did today, Andrea, they call you a... I'm not going to try to make you cry like Barbara Walters or anything. You've been described as a fan favorite. I would kill to be described as a fan favorite at any point in my life. Like, that's really cool. Like, did it give you strength when you were in Nicaragua, let's say, on Survivor, that people were cheering for you? Do you know that while you're going through the process?
So didn't know that at the time. Okay. Because you film the season and then you wait like 6 months and then it airs. So I knew that going into my second season because I was cast on Fans First Favorites. So yeah, I mean, that feels good, you know, but I also can recognize I had a really good edit. So they painted me as Wisconsin farm girl, tough and strategic. And, you know, they can take anything you say and air it. They can make you into anything. Because as you know, I mean, sometimes we're nice. Sometimes you maybe didn't, well, you're on a fast. Maybe you weren't the nicest.
Right.
And they can make you into whatever character they want you to. So I've been so lucky that the editors have been very, very nice to me.
That is good.
So that was, because honestly, I would say the hardest part about the whole experience for me was not even just playing, but being back and watching the reception and the social media of it. And it's only gotten worse and worse. It's just people are so mean. You get death threats. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so that's hard because there's a lot of anxious awaiting the episodes and wondering, oh my goodness, are they going to show when I went off on so-and-so? And then I was just lucky because they really never showed any of the bad stuff.
Wow. So what made you want to do it initially?
My parents had both applied for the show.
Oh,
we would
cool.
watch Survivor as a family. They both applied and they didn't get on, but one day I was in theater school and I didn't get into this play and I was so bummed out. And my mom said, "Why don't you try out for Survivor?" And I was like, "Mom, that's so different. It's do people even watch the audition tapes?" I just thought it was so silly. But kind of to appease her, I sent in a tape and I really leaned into the Wisconsin farm.
Nice.
I mean, I actually, if you offered me $10,000, I would not show this tape. I'm so mortified. I was in my mom actually wanted me to do it this way, but I was in my bikini in the snow,
milking a cow,
swinging up on a horse. Yeah, right. No, basically, we don't have cows. We don't have the dairy cows, but I was catching pigs.
Wow.
So ridiculous. So I did a full send, really leaned into it, and they called me. And I think that whenever people, so many people ask me, how do you get recognized? What should I do for my tape? And I just say, find your niche and just go all out. Because once you're on the show, you can do whatever you want. You can be boring. You don't have to be all the things you said you were in the tape, but find what makes you really unique. And I just really lean into the Wisconsin farm girl. And so they called me and flew me to LA for auditions and had me before the producers and Jeff Probst. And then I got cast on the show.
That's so cool. Conrad tried to get on Big Brother, but he wore a one piece. And I told him he should have wore a bikini, but he really just kind of blew it. But
Wait, he auditioned?
No. Maybe he did. I don't know him that well. Conrad's not that. He's not that type of guy. He's more of a private guy. So you've done a lot of like red carpet stuff too, Andrea. What is that like? Like when it comes to hosting, what do you like the most?
I do so many different types of hosting. I love live stuff. Like I work for the Morning Blend in Milwaukee and just doing live TV is really fun. But I will say the chapter of my life where I was doing celebrity interviews was really cool because it was a world that, you know, I grew up on a farm. No one in my family did anything theatrical or on TV. So I was really the first person to say, hey, I want to do TV stuff. And, I hosted at the Emmys red carpet, yeah. Oscars. I got to interview Robert De Niro, Brad Pitt, J-Lo. So it's fun. It's really nerve-wracking. You know, you get like two, you're like, okay, Brad Pitt's walking up. He just won his SAG award. You get two questions. That's almost harder than a sit-down interview because you're like, I get two? I better not mess this up.
Right.
So that stuff was really, really fun. And then I have a lot of fun doing the most random things. Like I got hired this year to do some hosting at the Westminster Dog Show. So I'll get booked for a job and then I just have to go into study mode where I need to be an expert on dog breeds. And so I know all about the Pekingese, the Sholowitz Queensley. That's the hardest one to say. And I was at the Westminster Dog Show hosting in the arena. Crazy stuff.
Whoa.
But, yeah, I think live stuff is really fun because it's a lot more pressure and I do pretty well under pressure. So, I like it all.
That's excellent. You'll always work. You know, if you're good under pressure, you know, as long as you don't start dropping F-bombs randomly, I think you'll always have a gig, you know. You went to Stevens Point, which I think is interesting, mm-hmm. but you said you didn't have a theater background, but you have a BFA. I think it was in acting, right? So,
oh yeah, I meant that my family didn't really have any theater background. So no one in my family pursued anything. And I mean, even though my family, they're good singers, they're creative. My mom's an artist, but they never did anything like pursued it professionally in terms of like, you know, television or getting a career in it. But I do have a BFA in acting. Yeah.
But that's impressive because you have to audition for that, right? To get into that program. So mm-hmm. the fact that you didn't grow up with theater and still got into a BFA program at Stevens Point, which is a pretty respected, as I understand it, program, that's really impressive.
I mean, it was tough. The program was really tough and it definitely prepared me. I still do some acting. I just kind of found that the TV hosting was more my bread and butter and I just kind of felt like I was a little better at it. But the acting definitely, you know, it teaches you skills that help with really anything in entertainment.
You also on your, I saw your resume and you have you say, oh boy, a lot, like I'm going to uncover something. I don't think you have anything that would be that horrible, but it does say juggling. And the first thing I thought of, what does that mean? Juggling gigs? Cause your resume is like 8 miles long with hosting stuff. Or do you mean actually juggling like bowling pins or tennis balls?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that's probably my special skills section. I do have a lot of random special skills. The thing about a theater degree is it's always funny when I talk to someone, my sister right now, she's in PA school, right? So she is studying for her finals and she is like, you know, really high level things. And I'm like, one of my finals in college was a juggling final. Like I'm not even kidding. It was basically a clown class where our final was juggling.
I put
that on there because it's fun. And honestly, whenever I can fit it into.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The